Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Ron Brown, who is one of our favorite guests. And Ron does support Radio Liberty. We certainly think he does a great job. In fact, we've dealt with him a number of times ourselves. He sells gold and silver. And we like to talk about what's going on financially because we think it's so vitally important that people understand that we're being lied to by the government. In essence, why we have a progressive destruction of the value of the American dollar. We hear that the price of oil is going up. The value of the European currency, the euro, is going up. But we never point out that the reason this is happening is because the value of the dollar is being progressively destroyed as part of an organized, orchestrated effort to undermine the very fabric of our nation and impoverish our people. Now, why would I make that statement? Well, very simply, because that's the plan. And you can verify it in the Earth Charter if you'd like to. You can get the Earth Charter off the Internet, or you can call us at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a copy of the Earth Charter. Certainly, if you have not yet read the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, which came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, if you can try to get it on the Internet, there's a summary of it around, or we have a summary in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. And basically, the elitists are talking about how, if the people are going to be allowed to live, if we're going to keep 6 billion people on the earth, they're going to have the living standards of those people in Eastern Europe. And this was 1992. They're talking about that. The people in Eastern Europe lived a peasant or a very, very frugal lifestyle. And so basically, they intentionally are lowering the value of our currency and destroying the value of the savings of everybody who's been saving for their old age. And if you're in T-bonds, if you're in CDs, if you are in annuities or pensions or insurance or have money in the bank, understand that the value of your currency is being progressively and intentionally destroyed. Now, how are they doing it? Why, they're printing more and more and more money and creating more and more and more credit. The inflation rate is not 3.5%, 4.5%. It's about 11% or 12% at the present time, going up progressively. And if you look at the M3, which incidentally government refuses now to actually print, they say it's just too expensive to get it. Doesn't do any good anyway. And the real reason they don't want to print the M3 money supply figures is because it's going up so very, very rapidly. So it's important that people understand what's really going on, and that's why we've got Ron with us tonight. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Good to be with you again, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us now, Chris, we talked to you a couple of weeks ago, and you were telling me that there seemed to be a shortage of silver, and yet, how could that be when the price of silver is just dropping and dropping dramatically? Are the silver eagles available from the Mint, and are there plenty of them available?
Well, the Mint announced last week that they would be rationing the silver eagles. Now, they haven't clarified that statement, but what I've been predicting now for 2-3 years that we would reach a point where the demand would outstrip the Mint's ability or willingness to supply, and they would put the eagles on what we call allocation. In other words, we're only going to make so many per month, and that's all you get. And that's one reason I really like the silver eagles, because once they do that, then people can't stand not being able to have something, so they'll pay whatever price they have to get it. So you could see the silver eagles go to a very high premium as the availability of them is withheld from them.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Ron and exploring what's really going on in the gold and silver markets. Well, Ron, will you be able to get them, do you think? When are they going to be available?
Well, I've found a few dealers that have got some of them in the secondary market. In other words, they bought them back from other people. But as far as getting them from the Mint, they started delivering again on the 21st after not delivering for about 3 or 4 weeks. But that doesn't really tell us anything because we don't know how many back orders are in place. So I suspect we're seeing the very early stages of chronic shortages in all forms of silver, because most of the dealers really haven't caught up with, for example, 100-ounce bars. If you want Johnson Matthey or Engelhard bars, you have a long waiting period, and they've raised the premium on them. 1-ounce silver rounds are very difficult to get, long back orders on them, and even silver bags are kind of tight supply right now. So I think we're in the early stages of chronic shortages, which are going to create even more people getting into the silver market.
Well, now, of course, are the bags of 90% silver available today?
You can get them. If you called and ordered 10 or 20 of them, you might be waiting a while to get them because it would take the dealers a while to round them up. But that's the one item that you can kind of get to, get without a lot of difficulty if you're just ordering a bag or two.
Well, of course, the thing is that they've been around for a long period of time. Are the people who are holding them getting rid of them now, or are they hanging on to them with the idea that the price will go up? We know.
Well, most people are hanging on to them, but as you know, as the economy squeezes people, a few people who bought their silver and gold as a refuge are having to sell some of it just to make ends meet. So that's the silver that's coming into the market. I would make one note that over the first 2 to 3 months of this year, I would guess about 40 to 50% of my calls are people who've never bought gold or silver before, but in most cases they've been hounded by one of my clients, tell them they should have bought it, for 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and now they're slowly waking up to what's really happening. So after half the horses are out of the barn, people are starting to wake up, and I think that's just the early stages of the accelerating flight out of the paper money into the refuge of gold and silver and anything tangible. I think we're on the verge of that accelerating into, panic mode over the next, let's say, 12 to 24 months.
Well, now, what about the availability of gold coins? Are they still readily available? And hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ron was saying that as far as silver is concerned, that 100-ounce bars of silver are very, very hard to come by, that you can get a couple of bags of 90% silver coins if you want to, but if you were to order 10 bags, you'd have a hard time getting them at the present time. They're increasingly more difficult to get, and especially now the price has fallen. Those people who bought them, I think, really wouldn't want to sell them. They think the price is going to go up again. Silver rounds, which are simply a round piece of silver with something stamped on it for 1 ounce silver, he says, is that pretty much almost impossible to get the silver rounds, or can you get those?
Not without a long back order.
All right, fine. And
won't even tell us what the back order is, so I don't know whether that's 2 weeks or 2 months.
And how long will it take you to get from the Mint the silver eagles, the 2008 silver eagles?
That's what I'm not sure of. The ones I ordered back in March are coming out. They're supposedly on the way, this week. But if you ordered one a week ago, I'm not sure how long it would take you to get them. Since they've announced they're, one, going to ration them, and two, they haven't said how many they're going to ship. So you don't know exactly how long that'll be, and we won't know for probably another 2 or 3 weeks, what the waiting period is going to be.
Well, Ron really thinks that they were beginning to see the real shortages of silver out there, and certainly if the shortages develop, certainly this will begin to drive the price up. How did they get the price down to $16.90? I think that's where it ended today. It started today there, about $16.90 an ounce. That was a big fall from well up over 21 where it was.
Right. In fact, I figured out the percentage drop, about 21%. The way they do it, Dr. Stan, and it's this is just one of probably many ways they do it, but where you get the spot price of silver, when you call and say, what is the price of silver, that comes from the spot month or the nearby month on the COMEX or the futures market. The futures market is nothing more than a what I call a bookie operation with speculators trading contracts, and you have to have a buyer for every seller. So that's a highly leveraged market. You only have to put up 10% of your money or so to trade those contracts. So when you're trading leveraged contracts, you're very sensitive to any type of rumor or changes in price because you lose money or gain money at a much faster pace. So what we see happen is that the international bankers typically are the ones that are on the short side. In other words, they have sold the contracts to the speculators on the long side. So they are betting the silver will go down. In reality, what they're trying to do is hold the price down to keep it from going up. And then when they get to a position where they've got a massive short position, which right now is approaching 300 million ounces of silver that these three or four bankers are short the market, they have to find a way to force the price down. And all they really do is find a point when the hedge funds, which are typically the longs, are vulnerable, and they just start hammering the market. Since they have an unlimited checkbook, they just start selling contracts, until they force the price down and start triggering what's called a stop-loss order, and then that just feeds on itself. And you'll notice whenever the silver goes down, it'll go down $2, $3, $4 in just a matter of 2 or 3 days, and that's because you're having a panic in the futures market. But this time, very interestingly, while the silver was dropping $4 an ounce in a matter of 2 days or so, you would think every dealer in the land would be swamped with sell orders as people are panicking out of their silver, right? The reality is just the opposite. Every dealer that I know of in the country was literally had their shelves cleaned. People came in to buy silver, and as we've been talking about, the shortages started to suddenly erupt overnight. So that was happening as the price of silver was going down, which to me is solid proof that this is a manipulated market. Futures market really has nothing to do, or very little to do, with the physical supply and demand equation for silver.
Well, I think, of course, the precious metals market, most of the commodities, and certainly the stock market, are manipulated by the people of great wealth to their advantage. And, of course, the last thing they want is for gold and silver to start zooming on up, because that will really attract attention to them. And people will begin to understand that our money is simply a fiat money system. It's paper with something green printed on it, and, of course, it's losing its value at a fantastic rate. This is the tragedy, and of course what it's doing is moving to impoverish our people, and those people who thought they were going to have security as they grew older and suddenly find that their money becomes increasingly less valuable. And, of course, the same thing is happening with other currencies. Ours is just falling more rapidly. Our nation is having to borrow $2.5 billion every day. And despite the fact that we're having to borrow $2.5 billion a day from other countries or from investors in this country, why the administration is intent upon giving away countless billions of dollars to Africa and billions of dollars to South America and billions of dollars to this dictatorship and that dictatorship and this communist country and that communist country, and of course people don't really begin to connect the dots, that the major function of our foreign policy is to bring Marxist governments to power throughout the world. And this is really what we're doing, but we can't let the American people know that. Marxism is supposedly the enemy, and yet if you look very carefully at what happens, for instance, as they recently did in Nepal, or, of course, the Maoists have recently then gotten a majority in the parliament, and, of course, the United States government was backing the Marxists, the Maoists, I should say, in their effort to seize control of that country. And just as we brought Robert Mugabe, the brutal communist dictator in Rhodesia, now known as Zimbabwe, to power, and of course he's being kept in power by the Chinese communists who were financing a brutal authoritarian dictatorship. But we can't let the American people understand what's really going on, or they might begin to suspect that most of what they think and most of what they believe simply is not true. Well, let's go back to what's happening as far as gold is concerned. Certainly, the price of gold has fallen considerably. It was about $885 an ounce there, at least part of the day. Is gold and gold coins readily available today?
Yeah, they're pretty available. In fact, the dealer I do a lot of my business with had a big slug of almost uncirculated $20 gold pieces. They had, you know, like 1,000 of them. And it was interesting. She told me what the reason they got them all in is was the investor was switching from gold to silver. So he was selling his gold to buy silver. And I think that's what you're going to see happening in the... You already seen it. I think you're going to see it accelerate in the coming months as more and more people wake up to the extreme shortage of silver out there.
Well, I think, Chris, I think silver does have a potential, a tremendous upside potential. Certainly, probably way out of proportion to gold, because ordinarily the ratio between gold and silver gets to be about 16-1, and that's pretty close to what it was back in 1980 when we had the last run-up. Today it's certainly 50-1. So silver's got a long way to go, doesn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, if you look at all the metals compared to their 1980, you know, whether you're talking gold, platinum, palladium, copper, they've all exceeded their 1980 highs, and yet silver here at, $17 is not even a third of the way to $52. So silver has been lagging the other metals, and I think that's simply because of the massive manipulation of the market.
And, of course, the other thing is that the dollar was worth so much more in 1980. Probably that dollar is worth about 40 cents today, because basically we've had so much inflation, probably even more than that, probably. What do you think that the 1980 dollar would be worth today?
Boy.
It would probably be worth, at least $2 or $3?
Yeah, I was looking at it the other way.
Right.
Today's dollars maybe 30 cents compared to the 1980 dollar.
And people
look at the price of oil. Oil is at $120 a barrel. What did it peak at in 1980? About 40, was it?
Something like that. In fact, really, it hasn't gone up that much. If you understand that the dollar has gone down, and when people keep complaining that the price of oil is going up, I point out, no, it is the value of the dollar that's going down. Don't you understand? And most of them just don't understand. They don't understand what happens when you have a fiat money system, for as Lenin had said, and I will quote it again, there is no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch its currency, and not one person in a million will understand what's happening. Not one person in a million will understand what's happening. Well, I hope our listeners do understand what's happening, and I'm sure the people who deal with you, Ron, understand what's happening. So we're fortunate that we have some people, at least a small cadre, that understands that the people who control our monetary and banking system are intent upon destroying the value of our currency and impoverishing our people. And this is such a tragedy. And yet, since they hold the reins of government, they control both political parties and the banks and the corporations and the great tax-exempt and the media and certainly the great tax-exempt foundations, why, of course, there's little we can do about it other than to watch what's going on and try to get the American people to understand that there's a plan to impoverish them and destroy the middle class. Well, certainly, what are you hearing from your other dealers? Are they running short on silver as well?
Yeah, everyone I talk to is having trouble getting, silver for immediate delivery. About everything is backordered. So it's, and this is just the early stage. I'll mention another thing that's going to exacerbate the shortage problem. According to Ted Butler, who I follow because he exposes and documents the manipulation of the silver market. He says there's about 2 billion ounces of silver certificates the investors are holding where they think they have silver being stored for them, whether it's the Perth Mint or some, you know, Morgan Stanley. We know about that lawsuit that came out against them where they weren't storing any silver against their contracts. But there's probably 200 or more banks and dealers who store silver for people, and according to Ted Butler, that's about 2 billion ounces. Well,
hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, Ron, what were you saying about Ted Butler? And
he is saying that investors are holding $2 billion worth of silver certificates. In other words, they're allowing someone else to store their silver for them. Now the word is getting out. We saw the lawsuit against Morgan Stanley, and there's the rumors and the stories that Perth Mint doesn't have the silver to meet its contracts and so forth. And as people lose faith or confidence that that silver is really being stored for them, then they're going to start to realize they better get rid of that paper position. In other words, sell their paper position and turn around and go buy the real physical silver and store it themselves. And I'm starting to get, just this week I had clients, one of them was shifting about $200,000 worth of silver stored at the Morgan Stanley program and buying silver eagles with it, even if he has to wait for them. And then another guy with Perth Mint is switching about $250,000. So as that flight out of these storage programs, which in my opinion have covered up the coming shortage of silver for years, a lot of that silver doesn't exist. The bankers are using the fractional reserve banking in their silver storage programs just as they do in their normal banking system. In fact, you know, when Morgan Stanley lost their lawsuit, you know what they had the gall to tell the judge? The judge, we're only doing what is standard procedure throughout the industry.
And what did the judge say? And of course, what sort of a fine was levied against Morgan Stanley?
I think they gave them 40 licks with the wet noodles, what it was, I think. It was very little small fine compared to what that's absolute fraud, in my opinion. In fact, they were convicted of it. If you charge storage fees for something that you're not even buying, you're really using their money for your own purpose and not providing the service you promised.
Well, of course, it's a tragic situation, but this is the way the banking system works, and it's about time that the bankers be held responsible and that they react intelligently and honestly with their customers. And this is not the way the system works. The banking system was established by bankers, for bankers, to enrich bankers, and, of course, eventually to impoverish our people. And this is what people must begin to understand. It sounds to me like you've got a lot of customers who are pretty knowledgeable about what's going on.
Well, I've been in the business 30 years, so, you know, a lot of my clients are ones, you know, come from you, that you've educated. And the people that buy gold and silver are the ones that have waken up to what's going on with the monetary system, and they're seeking a refuge, and that's all it is. You're not buying gold and silver as a trading vehicle, at least you shouldn't be. If not to make money, it's to preserve what you've worked your lifetime for.
Well, now, where are the people going to, store their, you know, $250,000 worth of gold, probably of silver eagles? Do you have any idea, or do they, just generally, I know you can't tell us where they're going to be storing it, but where ordinarily would somebody store that? Because that's a fair amount of silver.
It sure is, and, that's the problem. Silver is so bulky that it's hard to store, you know, for a wealthy person, an awful lot of silver. But all you can really tell them is you have to be very discreet, but you need to store it yourself. So I just tell people to go get a big gun safe and don't stop till you fill it up if you've got money. And if you fill that one up, go buy another one. But just keep getting your money out of the paper assets, which are being destroyed, into a refuge which will protect.
All right, well, I think that's pretty good advice, especially in times like this, when there is a plan to impoverish the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Ron was just saying that he has a number of clients that are shifting from gold or other investments into silver because they think the potential for silver is so much greater. But, of course, to go out to try to buy any amount of silver today is very difficult because the market is very, very thin. Many of the major banks and these so-called exchange-traded funds, ETF is the term they use. They love to use these terms, hoping you won't understand what they mean. But an ETF is an exchange-traded fund in silver or in gold or some almost any commodity. But you may think that you have silver being stored for you by that fund. They really don't have it. It's all simply paper manipulation, and certainly Morgan Stanley recently got into trouble for saying that they were storing silver when they really didn't have any. But a lot of the people are getting out of those exchange-traded funds, and trying to get their hands on silver. And, of course, what happens with a very, very thin market, that is more and more people begin buying silver. Why, of course, well, it's sort of like what's happening to rice today. Suddenly it was announced that there was a rice shortage, and immediately everybody was out buying large quantities of rice, and this is just going to drive the price up higher. And, of course, by the law of supply and demand, there's going to be a big demand, and very soon there'll be very little supply. So we're at difficult times financially. If you really look and see what's happening, why, suddenly there are several million people who either have lost their homes in the United States or on the verge of losing their homes, according to the recent Wellington letter. There are between 8 and 10 million Americans who face losing their homes down the line as the value of property begins to decline. And, of course, as property declines and is sold on foreclosure, it drives down the value of all the other homes in that neighborhood. And, of course, often happens is when a home has been vacated, it begins to run down. And of course, the lawn is overgrown. Certainly, sometimes the windows are broken. And of course, it begins then to detract from the value of the neighborhood. And there are areas in our country where they built these new housing developments, and there will be block after block of new homes and nobody in them. They're desperate to sell, and many of these homes are being sold at far less than their cost to build them. But, of course, they have to get out under the massive interest rates that their developers are playing on their borrowed money. Are you seeing this happen in your area, Ron?
You know, my area isn't as bad because we never had the explosive run-up here in Colorado Springs that I know Denver's had a real serious problem, but... The market is very soft. There was an article a few months ago that said the number of homes on the market was double that of the previous year. So, and prices are down, but not down like they are in areas in California. In fact, I was reading in Jim Sinclair's email. He was saying, according to DataQuick, the foreclosure rate in California is up 327% from most. Those seven levels, averaging more than 500 foreclosures per day for the first quarter of 08. So that doesn't sound like a very happy scenario.
No, it's an awful lot of miserable people who really, of course, were manipulated into buying homes by Alan Greenspan, who was telling them to go ahead, buy these homes, take out the adjustable rate mortgages. And, of course, Alan Greenspan was smart enough to realize that down the line you have to renegotiate your loan on an adjustable rate mortgage. And instead of being 2.5% or 3%, it's suddenly 6% or 7%. And a lot of these people, marginal, subprime borrowers as they were, there was no way in the world that they were going to be able to meet those higher monthly payments on their home. They understood that. This whole thing is manipulated. And then, of course, the fact that the mortgages were actually bundled together and became bonds, and those bonds were sold throughout the world. One of the largest banks in the world, the Union Bank of Switzerland, early this year actually wrote off $39 billion in bad loans. They have another $72 billion in bad loans, of course, that they're looking at. You have to read between the lines to get the information, but this is the third largest bank in the world, and yet, of course, they're facing very, very difficult financial times. How would you like to have your money deposited in a bank that had already lost $38 or $39 billion and is looking at another $72 billion of these bonds and derivatives and the other things, all of which, of course, could come tumbling down around them. And, of course, just right now, of course, everybody's saying, well, these banks are too large to fail. They can't let them fail. But pretty soon, governments begin running out of money. And the only way that they can, of course, then help the banks, lend them more money, is to print more money and more money. And more money, and pretty soon you end up like they did in certainly in Germany in the 1920s and early 30s, or they're existing in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown, and we're just talking about really what's happening to the gold market, the silver market, and of course, it was interesting that Ron was saying that certainly one of the dealers he works with on gold was saying that they had, a thousand almost uncirculated gold coins, because the person who had all that gold was moving from gold into silver. And, Sidney, are you seeing much of that at the present time, or is that sort of an unusual happenstance, Ron?
Well, as you know, Dr. Stan, I've been promoting that for the last 4 or 5 years. The gold-to-silver ratio has come from the 70-75 range, 4, 5, 6 years ago. Got down in under 50, and now it's around 52 to 1 right now. So, in other words, that means gold is simply 52 times the price of silver. As you pointed out earlier, historically the ratio is around 16 to 1. So that tells you silver could go up, threefold, or three times as much profit in the silver market as you would have in the gold market if it just goes to that historical ratio. I personally think the ratio is going to go down to 10 or even 5 to 1 over the next 2 to 5 years, simply because we've had a once-in-a-world history phenomenon where the governments of the world demonetized and dumped all the silver that took 4,000 years of history to accumulate, dumped it into the industrial markets back in the 60s, and that just glutted the world with silver, and we've been consuming our seed corn for 60 years, and now we're down to the bottom of the barrel, and the price has been so cheap for so long that the silver mining industry just dried up, and 75% or so of all silver produced does not even come out of a silver mine. So anyone that was trying to mine silver has been hanging by a thread for the last 25 years, so they have not been, did not have the money to go out and explore for new deposits to replace what they were depleting. So here we are down to the bottom of the barrel, and finally people are waking up and say, uh-oh, we got a problem.
Well, I'm sure they are, and of course, the thing is, of course, if you want to open up a new silver mine or even get one activated that's been inactivated for a long time, it takes a certain amount of time. What are you talking, 4 or 5 years to bring a new silver mine online?
I use this analogy, Dr. Stan, and that is, let's say you called me today and said, Ron, I've got 10,000 acres in my backyard, and I'm totally convinced it's a silver lode, and I know you're worth $1 billion, Ron, so why don't we farmer partnership, and we'll go mine that silver and we'll make a fortune. That's about as simple a situation as you can have, but even then we would not mine our first ounce of silver for probably at least 7 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Ron Brown. And Ron, before I go on, would you mind, of course, getting your web page out? If you don't have a web page, at least your telephone number, so people would know how to get in touch with you.
Sure. My telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
Okay, very good. And, of course, what will people learn if they do call you there?
Well, one, they can call me and just ask for any questions they might have. I love just talking to people and educating them on what's going on in the silver market. But I have some newsletters I write from time to time, and I can mail them a package of information that will kind of give them the information they need to know to make a decision with respect to gold and silver.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, of course, here at the radio station is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And simply, we will reiterate what we've said before. And that is the fact that we have inflation at the present time. We're not being told the truth about it. It's really running 10 to 12%. The M3 figures are probably running 16 to 17%, which means that probably 6 to 9 months from now, while we'll be having 16 to 17% inflation, and we're going to have inflation as long as the Federal Reserve System keeps cutting the interest rates and, of course, putting more money out into circulation and making credit readily available. And what is so frightening is that, really, they are making money readily available. They have abandoned the dollar. They've abandoned the dollar. They're trying to save the banking system, the financial system. Over in Europe, they're doing just the opposite. They're maintaining the stability of their currency. They're preventing inflation. And certainly, they're even talking about the possibility of raising their interest rates over there. You look back to 1980, when we had a similar situation, 1979, 1980, and, of course, when we had rampant inflation, at that time, Paul Volcker, who was the chairman of the Federal Reserve System, raised the interest rate to 21% to try to stop the inflation and preserve our currency. Today, the Federal Reserve System is doing just the opposite. Instead of raising the interest rates, they're lowering the interest rates, because, of course, if they raise the interest rates, why, the whole economic system would collapse. So they're in a lose-lose situation. They can't do what is traditionally done, and that is raise interest rates and dry up the currency, because if they were to do that, then, of course, we would plunge in, not into a recession, but into a total depression. And certainly there would be total chaos in our society, and millions of people would lose their jobs, and even more people would lose their homes. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So, Ron, certainly as you talk to people across the country, what is your impression? They tell us that this is a temporary thing. We may be going into a recession. I think we're already in a recession, and I think things are going to get a lot worse. I don't think we're anywhere near the bottom. What are your thoughts?
I don't think we're anywhere close to the bottom, and now they're playing their spin games. It's amazing to me. You know, these banks are losing billions of dollars on their earnings compared to what they were doing 2-3 years ago. And now they're coming out and saying, well, their earnings were better than projected. They only lost $5 billion, I think, with Citigroup for the quarter. You know, so it's amazing how Wall Street can spin. Even though they're losing and going deep into recession, they're saying, well, their earnings are better than we expected them to be. So that's positive, and the market rallies on that.
And, of course, next time you pick up your paper and you hear that the euro has hit a new high, the European currency has hit a new high, understand what they're really saying is the American dollar has hit a new low. Or, you know, the price of oil is going up? No, the value of the dollar is going down. When you begin to be able to see behind, of course, the words that they use to deceive the American people, at that time, of course, you are really free. You can think independently of the controlled media, which creates a reality and, of course, is creating a situation where most people have no idea what's really going on. They think that they'll just sit by on the sidelines until the situation straightens out. It's going to straighten out in a very short period of time, and it's not going to straighten out in a short period of time. We are going to go into a very, very severe economic contraction, and when we come out the far side, we will either be living in an authoritarian socialist dictatorship or we will have regained our freedom. I'm not sure which way it's going. The question is, can we convince enough American people that there is a cabal that runs this country and plans to steal everything they have and, of course, impoverish our people and destroy the middle class? If people understand what's really going on and the spiritual forces that energize it, maybe we can turn it around. If we can't, that I see very little hope for the survival of America as a free nation.
What's tragic is that most people don't wake up to what's happening to them until it's too late. It's just kind of like the people trying to get in the ark when the water was up to their knees, you know, and the doors had been closed. Well, what we're having in my mind is what I call a phantom crash. If you look at the value of the dollar in 2001, on the dollar index, it was 121. Today, it's 72. That's a drop of, 40% in the value of the dollar in that, 5-6 year period. And yet the Dow Jones was right at $12,000 in 2001, and here we are with the Dow Jones at $12,000. So, you know, the pundits will say, well, you haven't made any money, but you haven't lost any. The reality is you've lost about 40% of your purchasing power because the dollars you have will buy 40% less than they would 6 years ago.
And, of course, the same thing is true with bonds. People want, of course, to invest in bonds, especially treasury bonds, treasury bills, because they're safe and stable. You don't make much in the way of interest, but at least you have stability there. And, of course, that's the greatest lie in the world because, of course, as Ludwig von Mises, the father of the Austrian School of Economics, said, bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation. And why? Because, of course, the inflation is destroying the value of the bond so rapidly. And with 10%, 12% inflation, you're losing 10 to 12%. You're making maybe 1.5% or 2%, and then you got to pay income tax on that. That is the ultimate chutzpah.
Absolutely. And in fact, that was my last newsletter in November, where the title was "The Bond Market: Inflation Vigilante or Not." And what I was trying to alert people to is the fact that the bond market, which had been propped up artificially for 20 years by foreigners, ultimately cannot maintain itself because people will not continue to invest in bonds paying 5% or 4% once they understand inflation is running at 10 or 12%. So you're going to at some point see, and you're starting to see the beginning of it, these mortgage-backed securities were a form of a bond, and they've collapsed. So, initially people run to the safety of the treasury bond because at least the federal government has a printing press and they can always pay you back. The only problem is what they pay you back with won't buy anything.
And I think it's important for people to understand that certainly many of our state governments are having real problems. The difference between the federal government and the state government is the federal government, through the Federal Reserve System, can just print money. They can print all the money they want to. The states can't do that. So here in California, we're talking at a $16 billion deficit. Why? Because the state sales tax is going down, because people are not buying as much, not buying as many cars as they were. The value of the houses is going down, so they're not getting as much in property taxes. The income of the people is going down. The income of the corporations is going down. They're looking at a $16 billion deficit. Whether that's 1 or 2 years, I'm not certain. My understanding is really going to be this coming year we're going to have that, and so they're going to have to start laying people off, and as they lay people off, of course, then those people are not going to be making an income. They're going to be on one form of unemployment insurance, and of course the state's budget deficit goes even higher. Now it doesn't have as many people working. It's having to provide for them through unemployment insurance, and you begin this whole cascade of events. And, of course, it's not just in California. It's all across the country. It was interesting. I was just reading that Ford Motor Company made a profit this year, but it didn't make a profit in the United States. It made it from its investments overseas. And, of course, Ford is losing money here. General Motors is losing money in the United States. Chrysler is losing money in the United States. And, of course, all of our major automotive industries are having more and more problems. And even although Toyota, I think, is still getting a profit, why, of course, they are selling fewer cars than they have in the past. And this is all part of this whole cascading event, as people have less and less money to use on buying cars. And certainly the cars are still selling, but nowhere near as they have, well, in the past. And actually General Motors is losing money on every car they sell. They have to discount them so far to unload them. But right now, because of the union contracts, they have to keep the production lines open. And, of course, they've got to manufacture the cars. And then they have to get rid of them, even if they lose money on every car. So this is the situation. Of course, people say, but look at this silver lining of what's going on. Suddenly the dollar is just being destroyed, but that means that our products we produce in this country are going to cost less in other countries, so we'll increase our foreign sales, and then we'll have more money here. And then, of course, our corporations that are working overseas will be making money in foreign currencies that'll be worth so much more than our currency, and so they're going to have great profits. But, of course, what we're really seeing, of course, is the end of America as an industrial manufacturer and the leader of the world. At one time, we manufactured 50% of what was manufactured in the world. Today, we're down around probably 20%. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're talking about what's happening in the economic realm. And, of course, I think this is something we should all be concerned about, and we should understand that we are not being told the truth by the media. Things are far worse, and they're going to get far worse as time goes by. Well, certainly, Ron, as far as you're doing, are people still pretty active in buying gold and silver, or are they sort of sitting on the sidelines?
Well, April has slowed down from March. I will say this, though. I've been in the business 29 years. I'm not a big operation. I'm just a one-man operation. I'm actually working out of my house now, and I work with existing clients. But I had the biggest month in March that I've ever had in the business in 29 years. So that says something that a lot of people are starting to wake up and run for the exits and get out of these soon-to-be worthless dollars and heading towards the refuge of gold and silver.
Well, we'll hope that continues for you. Ron is an honest man, and we certainly wouldn't be having him on our program here. Well, certainly as we see more and more people beginning to understand what's happening, but still probably, I don't think more than even one, but do you think 2 or 3% of the American people really understand what's happening, really understand the dangers of a fiat money system, really understand, of course, that their money is losing 10 to 12% a year?
I would be surprised if it's 2%. It's hard to quantify that, but today I was talking with a dentist out in San Diego, and he has an older brother who's independently wealthy, I guess, and he had a father, and the father wanted to put $100,000 in the gold and silver this week, but the older son is the executor of the estate, and he runs it, and even after his brother has told him to buy silver at $4, and here it is, it's $17, $18, 400% return on your money, he still doesn't see it. And so they'll just never wake up to it. I think it's a spiritual problem, to be quite honest. I always think of the scripture that says, because you refuse to seek the truth, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And that's what you see in our society. People will not see the truth, and then they're suffering as a result of it.
Well, I don't think people want to see the truth. I don't think people want to realize that the America that we knew really doesn't exist anymore. And the stability of our currency, which was at one time the leading currency in the world, no longer exists. I mean, certainly, we are the greatest borrower and debtor nations in all recorded history. And, even though, as we mentioned earlier, we're having to borrow $2.5 billion a day, and probably even more than that, but at least that much, just to pay our debts, we're still giving our money away to other countries in the way of foreign aid. We are still, over there in the process of trying to rebuild Iraq. The Iraqis have lots of money. They could rebuild their own infrastructure. Somebody said they've had something like $70 billion, of course, in oil sales this year. But they're not going to spend their money to build their infrastructure as long as Uncle Sucker will do it, as long as the American taxpayer will rebuild their roads, will rebuild their hospitals, will rebuild their infrastructure. And I think we're in a very, very real tragic situation where our leaders refuse to do what's best for America. They seem to be more intent upon the rest of the world than in preserving the integrity of our nation and the financial stability of our nation. And there's no
The scriptures say the borrower becomes a slave to the lender. And here we are, like you say, we need $2.5 billion from foreigners loaning us the money every day just to keep the game going. And yet if you were in China or any country that's sitting there holding billions and billions of dollars of our treasury bonds, and you're watching our monetary authorities just debauch the currency, and they basically were saying, keep lending this money, sucker, but we're going to pay you back with worthless dollars. So they're starting to get very upset, and it's getting harder and harder to get foreigners to loan us that money, which in turn is forcing our Fed to step in and monetize more and more of the debt, which is accelerating this path towards hyperinflation.
Well, here's what concerns me is that things get worse financially. You know, certainly during the Great Depression, we still had an orderly society. We still had a Christian society. We had a compassion. We had churches that worked to help the needy and the poor, and we had soup lines. But we no longer have that sort of a society. We have a society that says, look, we're entitled to be taken care of, and we want our welfare checks. If you don't get them, we're going to be burning this down, and we're going to be burning that down. And I really sincerely fear that we're going to be moving into a period of chaos and crisis in the coming months. Things are moving and moving very rapidly away from freedom. But let's get your telephone number out there just one more time.
1-800-595-0561. 1-800-595-0561.
All right, fine. Let's go to Peter calling us from Salinas here. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good evening. Again, what a great program. And I do love that biblical scripture about those that will not face the truth will face the Bush administration. I believe that's what it said.
I don't think that's quite but that's all right. It's pretty close. Go ahead.
I want to call to your attention the chutzpah it takes for John McCain to go to Youngstown, Ohio, formerly a manufacturing powerhouse, and openly state that NAFTA is a good thing for them.
Hold that thought on. We'll be back in just a moment with Peter calling from Salinas. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Peter's calling from Salinas, and he's commenting that John McCain is still backing NAFTA, saying it's a good thing for us. And of course, the Democrats are being critical of NAFTA. So this is, the Republican Party is intent upon globalism. NAFTA, the World Trade Organization, the North American Union, they're all part of this globalist, traitorous movement to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. And certainly John McCain, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, is part of the cabal that's working behind the scenes to undermine the stability of our nation. What are your thoughts on what Peter said there, Ron?
It amazes me, this whole presidential campaign with our nation going into bankruptcy and the whole thing unraveling, and yet they very seldom discuss any of the real issues. You know, they're throwing names at each other and discussing things that really have nothing to do with the reality of today's world. So it doesn't look like we have much of an improvement on the horizon with whoever gets in to replace. And it would be very difficult not to improve on what we've had the last 8 years.
Well, I think, Chris, what we are going to be seeing, of course, is the fact that what NAFTA really did was to enrich the wealthy in south of the border and to enrich the wealthy here in the United States, but it impoverished many of the Mexican people. If it was such a great, NAFTA was a great success, why are probably 20 million Mexicans have migrated into the United States looking for work? But nobody ever asked John McCain that question. Anything else you say, Peter, before we let you go?
Well, all I have to say is, Ron, I either want you as Secretary of the Treasury or I want you to be running the World Bank. What do you say?
If I was running the World Bank, the first thing I would do is get rid of the World Bank.
Nice. Ron, you're now promoted again. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it, Dr. Stan.
Thank you very much. In fact, we're hoping very soon to have talk that Ron Brown gave. And, Ron, I know you thought that you did a terrible job when you were out here last year, but you really did a great job. And I thought your talk that you gave at our conference on the bond market was so important because, of course, you try to point out the importance of the bond market and how this is really going to have a tremendous impact on what happens in the near future.
Well, thank you for that, Dr. Stan. I enjoyed my visit out there to meet a lot of the people that I've been talking to over the last 3, 4, 5 years going on the air with you.
And we'll have to get you back here again one of these times. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you again next month, and let's hope things are a lot better next month.
Okay, Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure.
God bless. Bye-bye. And, of course, our guest this evening is Ron Brown. And, of course, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and for those of you out there who really are a little uncertain of what's going on, let me suggest that one of the best things that you can utilize to understand it, what is taking place, is my talk on the financial tsunamis. We'll explain to you the hedge funds and the carry trade and how, of course, the coming retirement of the baby boomers is going to impact on what's going on, how the derivative market is undermining the very fabric of our society, and, of course, the derivative market, which has been likened to financial weapons of mass destruction, and, of course, as Warren Buffett said, currently latent but potentially lethal. The financial tsunami, it's a DVD, and there's a syllabus that goes with that that will help you to understand the various terms that we use here on the program. Then, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island, written by our good friend Ed Griffin. And, of course, it will give you an understanding of how the financial situation fits together and who put together this program that is designed to enrich the bankers and impoverish the people. We have a talk called The History of Money, and it simply gives you the history of money down through the ages, and it's a little inexpensive pamphlet. We have another pamphlet called The Financial Meltdown. And, of course, why did Alan Greenspan do what he did? We do not know. We may never know his true motivation, but at least we suggest an alternative position, alternative idea to that that's put forward by many people. Then, of course, we have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because the Federal Reserve is a conspiracy. The fact that most people believe it's part of the United States government simply reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. The Federal Reserve System is a privately owned central bank created by the bankers, for the bankers, to enrich the bankers, and eventually to impoverish the American people and to bring about the New World Order, the New World Religion, and the New World Leader. So, interested in learning more about the various items, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then I would simply point out that right now in America, while we're already experiencing shortages of rice, we're seeing the price of wheat go to the ceiling. Although there's no shortage yet, down the line, especially if the rust that contamination of the wheat crop in Africa and Asia gets to the United States, why we'll be having wheat shortages here. Certainly, one of the largest producers, wheat producers in the world, has been Australia. And, of course, they're not producing wheat because of the drought there. So there's several things that you need to think about. And if you have not yet laid in a supply of emergency food for yourself and for your family, or if you've not set aside the health products like Alibiotic, which is a pill that contains about five different substances like oil of oregano and the garlic and elderberry, oil of elderberry, and other things that will help you increase your immune system should the predicted great epidemic strike us. Why these things are, you'd like to get more information, just call us at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for an emergency food catalog, or ask for a health catalog, or for a regular catalog. And we actually have this all on a CD. Now you can get a CD, or we'll send you the printed ones if you prefer. But people should begin making preparations for the very difficult times that do lie ahead. And certainly you need to be prepared also spiritually for what lies ahead, because, believe me, we are really engaged in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield. And the tragedy is most people don't even know the battle is going on, but there are people within secret societies, covert organizations, and certainly the Council on Foreign Relations was founded in the occult. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret and my talk on the police state. They all come with syllabuses. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. So until Monday. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of a gentleman we've had on many times before, and I always enjoy having him on. Bob Fletcher really started out, never thinking he was going to get involved in studying conspiracies, but by a matter of circumstances put him into a very difficult position. He had lost a business that he had, and eventually, of course, he actually began researching so much of what's going on. And we carry a number of the DVDs that he's produced. Certainly we have one on the Kennedy assassination. We have an excellent one on weather control and weather modification. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a reality. But of course, you're not supposed to know that. You're not supposed to know that they can create storms and droughts and create a terrible, terrible problems in our society. And then he has one on UFOs. And of course, it's fascinating. You'll actually see a lot of pictures of these. He's done a tremendous amount of work getting all these film clips together and, of course, putting them together in a fascinating fashion. But tonight we're going to be talking about another of his DVDs we've never talked about before. Is it possible to electronically control people's minds? Is it possible electronically to plant ideas in people's minds? Well, that sounds pretty far out. Didn't you think it sounded pretty far out when you got started on it, Bob?
Yes, for sure. Can you hear me all right, Stan?
You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay, great. Well, yes, originally, as a matter of fact, it's kind of like so many of the investigations that I've gotten into in the last 25 years, and that was that when I heard of some of these things, I kind of had to take a careful look at it because I'm not easily believing everything that came across my desk, and I happen to be a real stickler on if I'm going to talk about something myself or if I'm going to include it into one of our investigations, that I have to have real good proof or real good documentation. And, of course, in a lot of cases, because a lot of these things are either top secret or in some cases above top secret, it's very difficult to get verifying information. And you even have to be, as you are aware, you have to even be careful of what appears to be good information. You sort of, let's say when you get your first questions answered, you have to kind of question the answers a second time and make sure that you really think that that whatever it is a believable situation.
Well, of course, none of this is believable, because if this was going on, everybody would know about it. The only trouble is with the mass control of the media, why we're not hearing about it. As you say, it's secret or above top secret. And the last thing they want is for the American people to know what is really going on, or these weapons that they have developed for mass control. So you pick up the story there.
Well, I was looking into, I was putting together a DVD originally in a VHS form. I was trying to do a good report on a whole handful of the exotic, unusual weapons that were had been underway. And, of course, they also tell us quite often that this is something that they're on the drawing board, planned for next year or planned for 10 years down the road, when, in fact, quite often it's stuff that's already finished and it's being used. But we were looking into some of the real interesting things, like lasers, and microwaves.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Okay, we're looking into lasers, and go ahead.
Well, you looked into microwave weapons and the ability actually to have a laser with enough power that could actually
destroy satellites, it's a couple hundred miles in outer space, and then things of that sort, as well as some of the silly stuff that one might conceive to be silly or imagine would be silly, like some of the funny glues that they had developed. There's a brand new one that they've developed where they can actually shoot a chemical at a vehicle, and it melts the tires and turns it into a gooey mess that then solidifies and will actually stick a vehicle to a road, actually stop it in its track. It's like having all four wheels turned into a silly putty or something. And these are all fairly easy to track down, and these are all real. Another one of the items that was very bizarre, of course, is the invisible soldier. And basically, that is also a reality. And what the method, the primary method that they had developed, it's sort of like a blanket or a uniform or a blanket that actually photographically reproduces what might, let's say in the case of the soldier wears an outfit that will photograph the backside, whatever might be behind the soldier, and then transmit that video, if you will, immediately to the front of the uniform, so that anyone looking at the soldier, let's say, that might be standing in a woods, they would see trees that actually are being photographed behind the soldier and transmitted visually to the front of the soldier's uniform, so therefore he would actually disappear and all you would see would be trees and maybe sort of a misty, foggy kind of a looking, kind of a visual thing, that actually you would have an invisible soldier. They've developed blanket material, that same fabric in a blanket form, that could be thrown over a tank, for example, and the tank would, again, would disappear, because you would be looking, technically you'd be looking through it, because you'd be seeing what was actually behind the tank. And so you actually have the ability to make soldiers, etc., and vehicles invisible. But one that you mentioned that turned out to be one of the most frightening, I think, all overall, and that is a
hold that talk. Right. We'll be back in just a moment here with our rest of our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Bob has been describing some of the amazing weapons out there, laser weapons and other weapons, of course, that can create an invisible soldier. Sounds incredible, but certainly this technology is available. But certainly one of the most significant things that's been developed, and you pick up the story, Bob.
And that is a psychological, they call it a psychological operation, to be applied primarily, well, actually can be applied for the battlefield. However, it can be applied politically, and it's very scary. It's called Commando Solo, Operation Commando Solo. And what this is, actually, it is an electronic, it's a C-130 aircraft, loaded with high-tech electronic equipment. And basically what it does is, number one, first off, it has the ability to fly over an area, let's say a city or a town or whatever, or a community, and it can override electronically, it overrides AM radio, FM radio, high-frequency radio, and television and military communications transmissions, and it has the ability to override all of those in a given area. It then also has the ability, of course, by overriding it on the left hand, they can transmit their own programs out of this aircraft, which would be pre-programmed. The aircraft flies over an area, overrides the transmissions, and implants their own transmissions into that town, city, community, or whatever it might be. Then the coup de grace on this, so to speak, is that they can do subliminal replacements, little psychological, a third of a second transmission that is not even recognizable visually to a person watching, let's say watching their TV or listening to a radio. They would not hear it, but they would subconsciously hear it, and they can, of course, do the subliminal planting of information into an entire community's mindset. And this operation, which I had heard about several years ago, and then, sure enough, a few years ago, I was able to get what is a live interview and a full coverage of this thing that was, for some crazy reason, I don't know why they did this, they actually permitted an entire television crew to go in and to record not only an interview with the commander of the operation, but go in and explain with the scientists, et cetera, the whole mechanism of this thing. And we were able to get that, and we put it and included it into the VHS and the DVD report that we have finished, which is called Exotic Weapons of Mass Control.
In fact, I just found out we do carry this. This is the only one of yours we haven't actually seen. Well, tell us what this commander said. Now, this was a Discovery Channel of the TV team.
Yeah, originally it was, and it was either, actually, I guess I'm thinking it was Discovery Channel, but it was one of the one of those programs that actually periodically they do get in. I don't know how. I'll be honest with you. Between you and I, it's one of these slip-ups that there were that somehow for somebody thought it was a good idea to let somebody know about this from their side of the fence. Commonly, this stuff is maintained in a very secret or top secret level.
All right. Well, tell us what did the commander of this plane loaded with electronic equipment, did he explain to the film crew that this was actually a means of mind control?
Completely, totally. They talked about it. It's two parts to the thing, actually. One is the commander himself. Actually, what we have is the footage on board the aircraft. We have actually flying a mission. We have the commander himself, and originally it was a fellow named Colonel Reed, R-E-E-D, and also they had the interview with one of the engineers or the designer of the concept, Dr. Persinger, who has been involved with the United States government in their psychological development of their psychological programs for many years. And the bottom line was that, as you actually can see it on our in our DVD report, but he admitted they have flown over in a couple of places. One that they felt that they were bragging about was when we replaced and put if I get the name correct, Rosetti, and we put him back into government position.
Are you talking about Aristide?
Excuse me, Aristide.
Right.
And we placed him back into Haiti to take that country back again under his wing after we had thrown him out, which is kind of crazy. But the bottom line was that he was despised by the people, and they flew over with this C-130, flew over a few times, took the transmission over, planted the subliminal message to these people that they should love him and that he was a great hero, and it was a great opportunity for them to have him back again. And son of a gun, when they put him back into take over the country, the people were throwing flowers at his feet. They did the same thing, and this is admitted on the interview also. They did the same application in the first war. Remember when the Iraqis took over and invaded Kuwait?
Right.
And the soldiers were out in the fields there, out in the fields in the desert, and they subliminally did this C-130 flyover a couple of days, and to the total amazement of our troops in there, the Iraqis dropped their weapons and just came out and put their hands up, and they really... we didn't even have any weapons there. We had some kind of an unarmed aircraft drone that was flying over, and they actually dropped to their knees, put their hands up over their head, and when the soldiers, the handful of soldiers, went up to them, and asked them what they were doing, and they said, "Oh, we give up. We know you're our friends. We know you want to help us." And they were kissing their feet and doing all that goofy stuff. And the bottom line was that it was this commando solo operation. And now after that, they had such success with it that they have now, in the last few years, they've like tripled the numbers of these C-130s. Originally, it was only a couple of them. It was experimental. They've converted many of them, a good small fleet of them, so they have a good bunch of these in operation. They have used it in Desert Shield. They used it in the Desert Storm. They've deployed it in Saudi Arabia and in Turkey, and they've applied it many, many times. By the way, that was in 94 was when they did the Haiti operation. It was called Operation Uphold Democracy, when they put Aristide back into Haiti. They also used it, which is interesting, part of an experiment. They went into it was one of the countries in the Arabian area there. I'm not sure which one it was. And the Pope was coming to visit, and commonly they have to double up on the security, and they always worry about somebody going to take out the Pope. And instead, when they utilize the C-130 Commando Solo with this electronic brain twisting, they actually had the Arabs were throwing, and the huge numbers of these Muslims were throwing roses at the Pope. And greeting him like he was in the middle of a major Catholic, like in a Catholic suburbs of New York City or something. It's a scary thing. What they've done, and they, again, is actually live on our interview that we have, the commander said that they had the ability to convince an entire community or a city or a town to vote in one way or another. And what happens is, after the election, if you go back in and interview these people and they say, "Well, why did you vote for this guy when you threw him out last year?" They look at each other and they say, "Well, I don't know. We just kind of had a feeling like we should support him this time, where last year we threw him out and this year we're voting for him." So it can be utilized that finitely in such a finite manner as to change people's ideas as to who they want to vote for. So it's very real. It's an amazing, scary program.
Well, of course, how did you actually come upon this? Was it after you had actually gotten this?
Well, matter of fact, I had originally, I had a contact in the Pentagon, and I had received these, but really fall into some kind of a secret or quasi, I believe most of it's unclassified now. I don't know what it was when I got it, but there was some white papers that had come out of the Edwards Air Force Base, and they were, I was amazed. I had applied to get these, didn't expect to get it, and sure enough, they shipped me about, I think there was 25 books about 1 inch thick, and it was nothing except brand new, planned and existing weapons. And it was this whole multitude of stuff, from including even small little micro things that actually can fly like a fly, and it's not much bigger than the end of your thumb, that can do actually photograph and listen in on conversations. That was one of the amazing.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Well, Bob, go right ahead.
And the anyhow, there were several of these what I would call micro spy robots involved with this paperwork, And it fully describes them. There's drawings and sketches and everything else. It's really wonderful to get my hands on it. And in it also, it made a reference to the psych operations and the electronically rigged C-130s. And like I say, then we were able to get a hold of it in terms of the get this interview with the commander, and it's amazing. And basically now this aircraft is, so you get a good idea, it's a C-130. This is like a military, basic military transport craft. It's built by Lockheed, and of course rigged up by whatever electronic wizards that they have working at the time. It runs at about, it cruises at about 335 miles an hour. It's a fairly slow, what you would call fairly slow aircraft. They, that flies only up about 25,000 feet in elevation. They don't like to take them much higher than that. When they do the flyovers, they would only be maybe at an 8 or 10,000 foot elevation. They drop out of the bottom, and again, all of this you actually can see on our DVD, but out of the bottom of the craft, they lower a huge, oh, it kind of looks like a diving bell, and that is that includes the electronic equipment to do the transmitting. And like I say, the transmission ability is such that it'll completely overpower whatever is being transmitted, radio, television, even military, and then they can put in whatever they want. So one thing, of course, they can, you know, just do simple psychological transmissions, you know, like the old Tokyo Rose, so to speak. But the big thing that's rather scary, of course, is the subliminal messaging that absolutely works. And they, on a television screen, it actually does a like a half a second flash on the screen, and you couldn't even see it, couldn't even, if you videotaped it, you could not normally pick it up at all. But it sends out a message visually and audio that convinces you to do whatever they want you to do.
Now, basically what you're talking about is simply old subliminal stimulation then.
That's right, except being now refined down to where it's so good and so serious that you can, as the commander said, convince an entire community to change their vote in an election. Of course, when I heard that and saw that, then right away, of course, I get thinking, oh, all these different places here in America, who knows? Because we have no idea who's putting out, you know, doing the quote-unquote little experimental flyovers. And, of course, we have no idea. I mean, you look at an election that comes and goes, and you, let's say you anticipate where everybody's planning to vote for person number one, and all of a sudden it turns out number two is the one that is the landslide, and then everybody tries and they scratch their head, try to figure out what's going on. I would certainly hope that they're not already applying it in America, and of course, who knows?
Well, of course, the thing is, you talk about subliminal stimulation on the television screen, but how would you reach the minds of the Iraqi soldiers who surrendered during the first battle?
It literally is a direct transmission. They flew over again.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were simply talking with Bob about how this works. Well, of course, in areas where people are watching television, why they're able to insert into the television broadcast subliminal stimulation, subliminal ideology, and this really is very, very effective. I mean, you'll see it on the screen, but you won't remember it. I've seen examples of this, and certainly our friend Joe Simmel has given us examples of how these subliminal impressions, ideas, can be programmed into our minds. And, of course, this is well known. Supposedly, you're not supposed to use this in advertising, and yet I'm sure that they really do this today, and they think they can get away with it. Why? Because they want to be able to manipulate what we believe and certainly how we feel about things. Well, then I was asking Bob how they would have actually been able to control the minds of the Iraqi soldiers during the first Gulf War. And what were you saying there, Bob?
Well, in the situation of the soldiers and the military, everything everything that was transmitted into that area that they normally might listen to, and that included their own military transmissions, were totally overridden and replaced by pre-recorded transmissions that were planned to be to go in to replace it. So if you, for example, if you had soldier military radio, or if you had even a communication out to the field soldier, the guys out there in the desert, from their commanders, and all of a sudden at 12 o'clock when the commander's supposed to contact them, it's somebody else that overrides and comes in and says, we've decided to give up this part of the desert. No longer support, don't try to defend this area any longer. You guys that are out there, turn yourself in to whomever's there, the United Nations troops. They'll handle you properly, and don't worry about it. The arrangements have already been made. And these people are anticipating a communication from their commanders on a specific broadcast line. And instead of getting that, they get this bogus transmission, which, of course, they don't know is bogus. And then, of course, the other part is that we don't know about, and that is if they've developed this sufficiently to actually fly over and just transmit it into your subconscious. I don't know if that's gotten that far in terms of development, but we do know that they completely override every other transmitting system in a given area, and they basically just say, "Hey, the United Nations has cut a deal with us, and da da da, and this is fine." Or Hussein has decided to drop out. We're no longer going to pursue any farther here or there. And we recommend all forces within a certain area drop your weapons and give yourself up. Because what happened with this thing, because when this handful of soldiers, the first couple of hundred that did this and reacted to the flyover of the Commander Solo, what happened was it surprised the handful of American soldiers. They couldn't figure out what was even going on. Instead of having a serious confrontation, they had 250 guys drop their weapons and came up out of their foxholes at 12:15 when in the middle of the day, and gave themselves up. And the soldiers were looking at each other. They couldn't figure out what was even going on there.
Now, I've heard our guest this evening is Bob Fletcher. He's talking about a DVD. It's two DVDs, and it's called The Exotic Weapons of Mass Control. Exotic Weapons of Mass Control. And if for anybody but Bob, I'd say that this is just too far out. But
of course, you get to see it. That's the best part is we've got, we just have the entire interview. And as a matter of fact, you can look it up, or anybody that's that happens to be computer buff. If you actually go on your computer, you can even Google it. If you go in for and it's Commando Solo. That's all you have to put down. You put Commando Solo C-130 or something like that, and you will be amazed because they cover there's a lot of stuff on the internet. But the big point is, of course, on the DVDs you actually can get on the airplane and have it explained to you by the scientists that put the thing together.
Well, I think it's amazing. I find that we actually carry it. It's listed here in our list of things, so we have it in stock, and it's one of the few things we carry that I hadn't seen. I'd seen all of Bob's other DVDs. They're excellent. And he's working on one on the strange death of Sonny Bono, Congressman Sonny Bono. But his one on the Kennedy assassination, his DVD on weather modification, his DVD on
we have one on UFOs.
Hold on, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Bob has three DVDs, actually four that we carry. One is on the Kennedy assassination, one is on UFOs, and one on weather modification. And I also see we actually carry his exotic weapons of mass control. And, of course, we carry it because we trust Bob and we think he does good work. And certainly he has been on the front lines of many of the major stories here through the years. And, of course, he also is putting together a DVD on Sonny Bono. And when will that be available?
Hopefully within a couple of weeks. We're trying to get it finished. I've been putting off because I was trying to get a little more documentation, actual physical documentation, and also we were holding off on getting some footage that I had been trying to get, and we finally have pretty much gathered up some of the things that we were hoping and been working so long to get, and we pretty much have everything we need, so it'll be a couple weeks and it'll be available. I'll sure let you know. Now, what is available that you guys have down there also is the DVD that I actually did as a report to Sonny Bono. And that was the one that I'm afraid may have actually gotten him killed. And it's called The Drugs, the CIA, and Government Corruption. And this report that I did for him shows many, many persons at very high levels of our government directly involved with drug smuggling and money laundering. And Sonny had finally, I did it for him, he had finally gotten opportunity to completely go over it and had called me up, and they had said in a couple of weeks, right after the holidays, we are going to be back. When we come back, it's the first thing on the calendar, and we're going to put together a major Congressional Intelligence Committee investigation, and it's going to follow everything that you've given us, and there's four or five specific elements in your report that we want to chase, and they just wanted to make sure that I was going to assist them and come on full time to do what I could. And I said I would, and I said have a good holiday, and then 10 days later Sonny was killed.
And I see we actually carry that one as well. It's called Drugs, the CIA, and Government Corruption, and it may very well have been the DVD of the information that got Sonny Bono killed. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we've not been told the truth on that or so many other things. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Fletcher. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly our guest this evening, Bob Fletcher, we're talking primarily about his DVD, Exotic Weapons of Mass Control, but we do have actually about five of his DVDs. I didn't realize we had that many, but we do. And, of course, we've seen three of them, and we're impressed by all three of those. And I think maybe this weekend we'll watch the Exotic Weapons of Mass Control, which has an interview with the commander of
Commando Solo.
Commando Solo.
His name was Reed, Air Force officer, general, whatever. And again, since we completed that, as a matter of fact, like I say, they have actually something like tripled or quadrupled the size of this program. And at this point in time, how good it is in terms of subliminal messaging and controlling of electronic airwaves, it's got to really be something, because they get better. Everyone knows how advanced their local computer becomes on like every 2 months. And with the government's unlimited source of funding out of our pockets, they're able to really do some amazing development. I wanted to mention now some of the other, of course, I mentioned earlier that they have this invisible soldier concept, which also you visually absolutely will see that on the DVD as well. But some of the other more exciting parts of it, I guess, is a laser that we were able to develop that from actually the desert at White Sands Proving Grounds in the middle of the desert here in the United States. They were able to shoot about a one-second impulse and hit the an orbiting satellite and completely fry the electronics in about a half a second, 250 miles in outer space. And that's pretty, that also is something that you actually will see, and that's pretty amazing.
Have you ever heard of the Nautilus program? This, of course, are either land or space-based laser program for bringing in incoming missiles, taking out incoming missiles?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure the name of that. I mean, I'm not positive. This could be a branch off of or whatever of exactly what I was talking about, and that is a laser capability to basically what it does is it doesn't explode it or blow it up, but it will simply fry all the electronics so that a satellite no longer can be communicated with or controlled or send
right.
information, so it might as well be totally gone. And they have successfully done that. We did shot one of our own satellites that had become obsolete, and they tested it on one of our own and totally burned up the electronics on it. Now, the on there also we have great coverage of the stealth battleship that they're been designing for a couple of years.
Well, tell us about that. A stealth battleship?
Yes. And you also, again, you actually will see inside the ship and outside and get a full explanation of exactly what amounts to with it. That particular battleship, which is 165 feet long, and it is in the shape, the general design and shape, like the stealth aircraft. And so it's designed in a manner such that sonar and or radar at the level of the ocean as if at ground level the ship will deflect radar and sonar off the angularity of the design of the ship externally. It's also painted, of course, with a special coating, which again is similar to that of the stealth bomber. It actually looks like a floating stealth bomber. When you see it, you will actually see, you can see what I'm talking about. But and what happens basically at night, for example, if it's pitch black and you are out in the middle of the ocean, if you ran your sonar and your radar trying to track this huge 165-foot ship, you will not see it. It does not pick up on radar or sonar, period. Does exactly the same thing in the water that the aircraft, the bombers do now in the air, and that is to deflect the radar systems. So it's pretty interesting. It's pretty great. We, again, also have a complete inside and outside footage of that thing. And, you know, where, as a sidebar, you know, where I'm living right now in Idaho is a town called Bayview, and we have one of these huge lakes, like Lake Tahoe out here, but it's like an unlimited bottom on this thing. They're not sure how deep it is. It's at least 1,500 to 1,800 feet. And what they have here is a secret base that's so close to my house. As a matter of fact, if I go out on my back porch and throw a rock, I could probably hit the base. And it's a... They do here full-time design of the submarines originally, and that is the acoustic design to make submarines quiet. And they had functioned here for several years doing that. We actually have one-third size submarines in our backyard here, and they bring them in on flatbed trucks. They work undercover in the huge silos, huge buildings, and periodically we'll see them drag one of these ships out into the into our lake out here, and they'll go ahead and dive and do all the stuff that they have to do. And recently, by that I mean about 6 months ago, they've stopped doing the submarines. It's almost considered now, subs are considered to be antiques, and it's not a priority any longer to deal with subs. And they are now designing battleships right here that will also be extremely quiet. They have brand new design of engines. The engines and the motors of these ships are brand new, top secret design, and they're doing that actually in my backyard, which is totally a coincidence, but it's interesting. I have been able to tour the base there, and it's really interesting stuff.
Well, I think people have to understand that the United States spends more money on our defense than all the rest of the countries, every other country in the world combined. Now, why are we spending so much money on our defense? Well, my goodness, we've got to protect ourselves from the wicked communists, or maybe it's the wicked Osama bin Laden, or maybe it's the Chinese, or you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we finance communism since its inception. The best enemy money could buy, we finance communist China after bringing them to power back in 1949 by cutting off military supplies to the nationalist Chinese so the Chinese communists could take over that country, and we're doing everything we can to build up their military power and technology today, creating these enemies so that we can justify, of course, spending more money. But so many of these weapons, I fear, are not going to be used against a foreign enemy. I believe they're going to be used against the American people. Right now, we've developed all these satellites to spy on the communists, but since there's no more threat of communism, now they're going to use them for spying on the American people. Isn't that logical? There's no sense having them up there. We can't spy on somebody. And so we are using the satellites we designed to spy on the Russians that would actually allow you to read a newspaper from outer space. Now we can, of course, watch the American people just as readily. People find it difficult to believe this is really going on, but I fear that so much of this technology eventually, Bob, is going to be used against not the the foreign enemy, but the people in America who cherish freedom.
I absolutely agree with you. And if you remember back in the mid-90s, there was a lot of reports all over the place about the quote-unquote black helicopters that were supposedly flying around. They were typically harassing people in a lot of places in rural areas. They had these black helicopters were coming down and doing a whole variety of unusual maneuvers, and of course they kept, and there was no markings on them. And of course when they reported them, they said, well, what was the markings? And they said there wasn't any, and then they said, well, you know, certainly there's no aircraft like that in the United States. You have to have numbers. And so they were making fun of anybody that actually reported these black stealth-type helicopters flying around in these different rural and residential areas. Well, we have the black helicopters, these stealth-type helicopters, also included in the Exotic Weapons DVD, and amazingly enough, they fly upside down, Stan. They have the ability with a helicopter to fly a complete barrel roll upside down, not losing control, and fly 65 to 70 miles an hour sideways without losing control. And they have full automatic computerized weapons on board where the computer on board does like 2 billion calculations in 3 seconds or something like that. So the computerization for the weapons is like something that you normally would think would be, have to be the size of a building or something. And now they have it on the helicopters, and we do have, again, this wonderful footage of these this black helicopter flying sideways and upside down, to actually doing a full rollover without losing control. So all of those people that were told they were nuts back there a few years ago, when they were seeing the prototype of this particular helicopter, they could get the DVD and show it to their friends and say, see that? I wasn't crazy, because here's the pictures of it and complete description and et cetera on also. It's just like the stealth bomber. It is a stealth helicopter with the ability to fly sideways and upside down.
Well, Chris, so we actually have a four-tape set on the black helicopters, and anybody, Chris, who gets out of line, they will come and terrorize you with those. I know certainly Pat Matriciano, who put out the DVD, or I guess the story of the Clinton Chronicles back in 1994, very embarrassing, the Clinton administration. He had a farm down in the valley, and of course they would send the helicopters out on a regular basis to intimidate them. One of our friends living over in Watsonville, who was very active and outspoken politically, and they sent the black helicopters there, you know, with all the guns pointing out the sides and, you know, looking like this big dragonfly, you know, hovering right next to the house so we could look inside. And, of course, this, you can't bring a helicopter down that low illegally, but, of course, these people are above the law. They're probably FEMA, CIA control, and they're there to intimidate and frighten. Our four-tape set on black helicopters is something everybody should get, and certainly we're going to have to get people to be watching Bob Flesher's excellent DVD going into the background of these exotic weapons.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, of course, certainly it sounds like you've got an awful lot. There's actually two DVDs in the set, aren't there?
It's really tedious. When you sit down to watch it, you have to just watch a half an hour of it and then get back and watch another half an hour. It is so jam-packed with mind-boggling footage and information. You've got to do it that way, or you'll go crazy because it is very tedious. Again, there's just so much, and it's one of those things that becomes overwhelming. So when you get it, though, you want to watch every inch of it, but do it in segments. Break it down for yourself, or you'll have a nervous breakdown watching all of it.
Well, that's the last thing we want our supporters to have, is a nervous breakdown.
Right.
And for so much of the information that we have is incredible. Unfortunately, it's all true. So anyway, of course, what sort of response have you gotten from this? Has this moved fairly well?
Oh, yes, it really has. And as a matter of fact, it's probably one of the best. And we've done about six or seven complete reports, and all on specific different, let's say, government corruption or things that we have to be aware of. And this is certainly one of the most popular ones. An awful lot of people, as a matter of fact, all over the world, Stan, we've placed this, been moving it all over the world. It includes all kinds of stuff, micro diseases, micro spies, I said these little tiny things, robots, bionics, some of the new, actually where they're working on eyes, that they can replace a person's eye that would have the ability to read infrared into actually a person's eye, and et cetera. It's covered with some of the most amazing developments of weapons that you could ever imagine.
How did you get all the information? How did you get the shots on them? Feed them to you from the military or what?
Well, I get it from an awful lot of directions, and it's very tedious, even with the one that we're just finishing now on Sonny Bono's situation. I get a little bit from here and a little bit from there. We got stuff out of the Pentagon. We got stuff from friends of ours in the military. We got some regular stuff. We go down. Some of the most amazing things, I've been able to go to the library, and if you know what to look for and where to look for it, you can come up with some amazing information. But it's full time, and it takes a couple of people doing it full time, and all of mine, I've ended up spending thousands of hours and thousands of dollars to put together all of the DVDs that we've done and the reports. They're very tedious, and commonly, again, I try to be careful. I will not talk about something that I can't prove. If I can show you the pictures and show you the videos, and show you the paperwork, well, then that's it, and that's good enough for us.
Well, do you have a website?
I'll tell you what. Folks can reach us if they want to get a copy of our catalog or ask a question or whatever. They can email me at news, at the little insignia for at, bobfletcher.info. So it's news@bobfletcher.info.
Well, I know my wife, we were having dinner tonight. She asked who I was going to interview, and I mentioned you. And she was commenting how well your DPDs are moving through our ministry. So this is encouraging. It's encouraging for us, but it's encouraging to me to know that people want to get the information that you have. And certainly we pretty well stand behind the other various guests that we have, the various DVDs that we put on, and excellent material. Information every American needs to know. You're not going to get it through the regular news channels. You're not going to get it, certainly, from the major news magazines, publishers, because the people who own those five major corporations have largely determined what the American people hear, what they read, what they see, and ultimately what they believe. We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up the program with Bob Fletcher. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, we again, I just do the same as you've done, and that is put out the invitation of folks to get the information, get the DVDs, the things that may be of interest to you, and it's like you said, Stan, it's material that you're not going to get anyplace else, and what we put out is stands on its own. You know, you see the commanders doing their own description of how crazy these weapons are and what they can do with them. And you have to really educate yourself the best you can. It's your only defense against any government that might go astray if the people do not arm themselves with knowledge and education. We're going to end up on the losing end of it. And greatly appreciate being on your show. Glad to be back any old time. We talk about some other interesting subject. As soon as we get the Sonny Bono DVD completed, I will let you know. And that also, by the way, will be very, very complete. And it's taken me a long time to get the information I had to put this together. And I'm afraid it'll be a little bit upsetting because the bottom line is, somebody in the powers to be murdered Congressman Bono.
But, of course, they've murdered so many people, whether it be Jack Kennedy, whether it be Martin Luther King, and incidentally we do have a new 4-tape set on that and a book on the murder based upon the trial that was held by the King, Martin Luther King's family, to try to demonstrate that the government was behind it. The jury found the government was behind it, and not a word in the controlled media. Well, I guess this evening has been Bob Fletcher, and we've been talking about his DVD, Exotic Weapons and Mass Control. Actually, it's two DVDs. It's not one. It's got so much information in it. And
4 hours.
4 hours. And, of course, the thing is that what is our best weapon? Our best weapon is the truth. And Bob has great information. The reason, of course, we present you and offer you his DVDs is because we trust him. He's done a lot of work. He's made an awful lot of personal sacrifices of his own health. But, you know, one of the people who values America values freedom. And I hope those of you out in the listening audience appreciate the hard work that Bob has done. And you'll want to get his work. And then, of course, you'll want to get this into as many hands as possible. Bob, thanks very much for being with us. We'll give you a call and get you on some of our other programs real soon.
Good, Stan. Thanks a lot. Good evening.
Good night. God bless. And, of course, that was Bob Fletcher, and we're talking about the DVD, Exotic Weapons of Mass Control. Well, this is Arthur Stan, and, of course, this is the time when I need to mention to Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, you can do that simply by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like more information on the DVDs we were talking about tonight, first one was Exotic Weapons of Mass Control by Bob Fletcher. That is actually two DVDs. And then, of course, his other DVD entitled Drug, CIA, and Government Corruption, which is the DVD he gave to Sonny Bono shortly before Sonny Bono died. And then, of course, we have Bob's DVD on weather control, on the assassination of President Kennedy, and then, of course, his and one other DVD that of his that we think are so important that people would want to get. And just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get one of our catalogs. They are available on CD, or we'll be glad to send you a printed catalog on our regular publications on health matters and all the books on health that we have. And then of course, the emergency food catalog. If you have not yet laid in your supply of emergency food or of health products, you need to get them, and you need to get them quickly. It's only within the last week we've suddenly found shortages of rice developing in America, and believe me, this is just a prelude to many other shortages that are going to come about. We have an excellent DVD on, four-tape set on black helicopters. We have, of course, a book on mind control and another book on mass control. They were actually written by Jim Keith before his mysterious death, which was subsequently followed within a few weeks by the mysterious death of his publisher, which was followed in a few weeks by the mysterious death of his ex-wife. Isn't that a coincidence? All three of them died in such a short period of time. But we do have a couple of Jim Keith's books, Mind Control, Mass Control. I think we probably still have his book, with the Oklahoma City bombing. No, we don't have that one. My producers are telling me that that one, the OK Bomb, is no longer available. That's too bad, because there he talks about, of course, Jennifer McVeigh, Tim's sister, having gotten a letter from Tim telling her that he was actually working for a special forces team that was involved in illegal activity. Of course, Tim McVeigh told the same thing to Terry Nichols. He told the same thing to his one of the people in prison with him. And, of course, the prisoner wrote a book called A Secret Worth Dying For. And all of the same story. Tim McVeigh was part of a special forces team involved in illegal activity. And of course, we can surmise that they were certainly behind the bombing of the Murrah building. Why? Because, of course, they wanted to get all sorts of new legislation passed, of course, to take away the freedom from the American people. And you had to make everybody believe that Timothy McVeigh, driving a Ryder truck, was able to produce the explosion that took down the Murrah building. And there's no way it could have happened the way we've been told. And they've lied to us, and to this very day, the FBI refuses to release the videotapes that were taken on the day of the destruction of the Murrah building, because there's an ongoing investigation. They won't tell what the ongoing investigation is, because they don't want to let Osama bin Laden or the terrorists or the Aryan Nation or maybe the American people. They don't want them to know what really happened that terrible day. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. We hope you'll go there. You can watch our DVDs free. You can read our newsletters free. You can listen to our programs there 3 hours a day live. And, of course, you can listen to our archive programs. You can listen to our other programs there. And, of course, we ask you then to pray for America, to pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.